Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Addis, to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events for Thursday, September 10th, 2015. Normally, James Corbett shares two segments of the program with Alfred, but he was unable to join us today or record the program last night when they normally do. And he's actually working on a special documentary on 9/11. And he had to finish that up. So he had some extra work to do. And he is scheduled to return next week. So for the full hour today, lucky you, you have both of myself and Alfred Addis. Good afternoon, Al.
Hello, Melody.
A little bit of pressure on gold once again today. The stock market, the Dow anyway, was kind of all over the page, ending higher, I believe. But we'll get to those numbers in just a little bit. We had the Dow up 460 today at 1111, 1111. Silver up six cents at 1477. Platinum was down $2, 983. Palladium was up $13 at 595. Pressure on the dollar 0.46 at 95.50. Crude oil is back up again today, 1.54 at 45.69. And the paper markets today, let's see, you have the Dow up 76 points. 16,330. The NASDAQ up 39 at 47.96. S&P up 10 at 19.52. 10-year yield today popped 2.22%. Euro also popped 1.13. That was up 0.57. Japan took back some of its huge gains from yesterday, down almost 3%, down 459 points. Pretty much Hong Kong was down almost 3%. European markets were all down, just marginally, not anything to, you know, get excited about. But just the ups and downs in the markets, whether it be paper, whether it be gold and silver. It's like certainly no directions, and that means pretty soon
there'll be a direction, but will it be up or will it be down?
Is it going to be up or is it going to be down? But, so.
Right now, it's just kind of moving along sideways, a little bit up, a little bit down,
mm-hmm.
and we will see where. And that's what the world is kind of waiting on right now.
It's waiting on something.
It is. You know, we've got the Shemitah. Mm-hmm. Everyone probably, all the audience has probably heard about the Shemitah, which is a biblical concept that the author, Jonathan Kahn of The Harbinger, wrote the book The Harbinger, which I thought was almost brilliant in its research. I mean, I thought that was really an outstanding book. And one thing he mentioned there, he mentioned the Shemitah, but he didn't make much of it in The Harbinger. But then he comes out with a second book on the Shemitah. And he makes an entire book on the Shemitah and illustrates that it's done some, and there's got some, again, he's got some surprising research on there. But my first reaction when I saw the Shemitah, someone sent me a free copy probably 4 or 5 months ago. I don't recall when. In that neighborhood, 5 or 6, I don't know. Sent me a free copy. I looked at it, and my first impression is that Mr. Kahn was simply trying to capitalize on whatever fame and notoriety he'd achieved with the first book on the Harbinger. And he had to write something to make some more money, so he wrote about the Shemitah. And I didn't pay much. I didn't give it much credence at the time. Later, as I heard more about it, I thought, well, there really is a lot of strange evidence to support this possibility. But I still remained skeptical, and I am skeptical to the day, to this day. It feels to me like the Shemitah, I give it a chance in 3, maybe even 40% probability of something that you can see happen somewhere near to, what is it, Saturday the 13th? I think that's the end mm-hmm. of the Shemitah year, if I understand correctly.
Mm-hmm.
Within, who knows, a day or two before, a week or two, maybe even a month after. I might credit it to the Shemitah, but I'm not. It remains to be seen, and I don't know who's right and wrong. I can't. But I am wary and skeptical, and I suspect, it could be wrong, but I suspect it's going to turn out to be ineffective. The predictions, the prophecies, the interpretations, my feeling is that it's not going to work out that way, but we'll watch and see. I mean, I'm open to it. I guarantee you, I'm open to it. I'm not saying it's false. But I'm saying, for me, it strikes me as improbable. And I'm just going on the record right now saying what I think about it. And if Friday the markets fall by 5,000 points, well, I'm going to be one of the guys on Monday who's going to say, well, gee, I guess I was wrong. All right.
Well.
But I don't expect that to happen. I just don't, it just doesn't feel like this is working that way. And I don't have evidence to deny it. You know, interesting book, interesting theories, got some decent evidence, but it still doesn't feel like reliable prophecy to me.
Well, I believe everything is on a cycle, and you could probably create cycles within cycles. And I believe we have had a period of events, you know, over the years that basically relate to this 7-year cycle. However, you and I've talked about it also. You know, when dates are predicted, if somebody said, hey, between, you know, maybe September and December, you're going to have, you know, some pressures and you're going to have this. Okay, I get that. But when specific dates, and I've been doing this a long time, they just... They seem not to appear. And I've, over the years, I've had people call me frightened. I've had people concerned with their children in various states and concerned that, you know, California from these guys, we're going to dump off in, I mean, just anything that you could imagine. That's why I am probably even more of a skeptic than Al is, because over the years I've experienced this through my clients and the concerns and the fears, and it keeps people from doing things. And folks, it's going to happen. I mean, and it distracts. To me, it's a distraction from what is really happening in this world and here in this country. There's, and kudos for, I have The Harbinger. I didn't have a chance to read it yet. I have it here on my desk with about four other books I have to read. I heard it was excellent, Al.
Mm-hmm.
Just absolutely excellent.
I agree.
And so not to discredit him in any manner, I'm skeptical of dates. And we have enough problems to worry about it. The other item, you know, was about China being put into the basket of currencies. Well, they're going to hold that off until next year.
No, that's just next year. That's a 5 years before they reconsider the basket of currencies.
Well, yes, but as far as putting China in there, they said they were going to hold off till 2016.
All right.
They do review that every 5 years, but for China, the IMF said they would do it or review it in 2016. So, but the point is not when they do that. The point is that was supposed to happen September or whatever, and okay, so that's not going to happen for another year. That doesn't mean we don't have currency problems. That doesn't mean that the problems went away, and things could still happen. These events could happen tomorrow morning. We just don't know. And
well, I kind of agree with what you're saying about dates. All right. One of the reasons that I'm skeptical about what's happening with the Shemitah is I've been listening to people predict for at least 6 months, maybe since the first of the year. I don't recall exactly. But it's at least 6 months, people. There has been an almost universal warning that September is going to be, everything is going to fall apart in September or October at the latest. And one of the things that makes me worry about this, you know, if there was one prophet out there who was saying, ha-ha, this is what's going to happen on September 13th or 12th or whatever.
And it
happened. When I see 50 people all coming down with the same prophecy, essentially, in terms of timing, I don't see that as prophecy. Right? It just makes me wary. I am suspicious. I am doubtful. I'm not convinced either way. Who knows how this is going to go? And I'm certainly not going to argue with the good Lord if he's doing the Shemitah. It's okay with me. But when you find a dozen different people, it's all going to blow up in September. That's not likely. Right? One or two people might have predicted it and turned out to be right. But when there's a general consensus that September is going to be this is the month to end all months. And that's not what people have said exactly. I'm exaggerating. When a dozen, 20, 50 people, September, I don't know. And they may all be right, but
I mean, you can
my experience over the years is probably not.
Couldn't you say, I mean, my biggest or what I'm going to view the most are the blood moon. I mean, that is truly biblical, and you just can't take that away lightly. But again, it doesn't mean it's a specific date either. It can happen anytime, but those are signs. And so the sign isn't, the day we have the blood moon, that's when it all falls apart. These are signs, I believe, for us to pay attention. What now?
No, I agree that they're signs, but there are a bunch of people that have been reading these signs and TV evangelists, among others, and telling us that this absolutely means big, big, big trouble and the rest.
I'm not convinced.
I'm just not convinced. I don't have anything. I have no argument with legitimate prophecy. I believe in the God of the Bible. But there are a bunch of people who will talk about it, and I don't think they necessarily know. They may be sincere. They may be just hucksters. I don't know what they are. But when I see everybody point to September, I'm thinking to myself, this is, I don't know. I find it unlikely, but it could be they're all right and my suspicions are wrong. So we'll find out. We've got 2 more weeks or 3 more weeks in September, and
I'm convinced you know, we are facing terrible times. I'm convinced we have a day of reckoning that is going to surprise most, that will make most people's heads spin. I'm convinced we have severe social problems in this country. I'm convinced we have severe debt problems in this country. I am convinced that we're going to have a monetary problem in this country. I'm convinced our currency is going to be revalued. It's already been devalued, but we're going to have a revaluation. I'm convinced we have all these problems. And I do believe there are signs. But I don't believe the situations are going to be dictated as far as the date that everyone knows and sees are by certain events, if that makes sense. So they're here. These situations are here. They're real. And people need to pay attention to what the problems are and be prepared for them. And, hey, if someone says something's going to happen October 1st, well, if you're prepared, you don't have to worry about it.
Well, and there's one other side to this.
But you can't stop breathing for something that might happen.
There's one other side to this that kind of makes that does put me on edge a little bit. What if nothing significant happens in September and October?
I know.
There are a lot of people who right now are kind of cowering in their little hidey holes, anticipating that the stuff is going to hit the fan, right? Either September or October. And if it doesn't, I think they're going to come out and have a dance. Yay! We're not having any trouble. Let's go spend our money on drugs or alcohol or something like that and get stoned and watch Dancing with the Stars. And then, if the real problem hits, say, January, after everybody's maxed out their credit cards for Christmas and forgotten about the warnings and the problems, I'm wondering if they're going to get caught, surprised. Because if something doesn't happen dramatic in September and October, there's going to be a bunch of people that are going to say, wait a second, this blood moon thing didn't work. The Shemitah didn't work. All this prophecy and God's going to get us and the rest of that sort of thing, none of that's valid. Let's go out and party. And I think if they have that attitude, if that's one of the results, if things don't, you know, if the predictions of big trouble for this month and the next, if they don't pan out, people are going to be in a celebratory mood, and it may make them more susceptible to being caught, surprised. They'll say, why didn't somebody tell me about that?
No.
Well, if you look at the fundamentals, you can see. You can't see the timing, but you can see the fundamentals if you care to look at them. And if you do, you say, gee, you know, I don't know, this thing's going to hit one of these days. If not September, if not October, then who knows? November, December, January, February. I don't know when it's going to hit, but it has to hit. And regardless of whether we get blood moons or we don't get blood moons, we are still going to see this trouble, and it's only a question of time, and I don't know how much time. And neither does anyone else. But the point remains, you get ready for it.
2013, there's some very credible people were predicting 2014 these situations were going to happen. July 2014, all kinds of laws were being passed that would affect the way you spend your currency. I said, no, there isn't anything that's going to happen in 2014. If you see anything happen, it's going to be towards the end of the year. You're going to see the weakening. You're going to see the pressures. Just like in they like dates, you know, June, July, August. If you go back to, you know, the last recession when things started to unfold, it was June, July, August. Oil hit 150 in July. You have all these pressures building up into, you know, the fall. I said, you're going to see weakenings. And then my thinking is our biggest problem comes in October when the debt is discussed. You know, when the budgets have to be announced, when all these figures that have been none talked about for the past how many months? We have no idea what these numbers are and so forth. And I think it will be a shock. And you
if
know,
we
so,
get the truth, I mean, it remains to be seen. It's optimistic to suppose we'll
they
even
can
find
only
out
lie.
What the truth is.
Yeah, well, they can't lie that it's actually better. So
No, they can't do that, but they can say it's not too bad. It's just something that's been totally ignored.
It's not even talked about.
And you know what else isn't talked about?
Our break.
Yeah, we got to talk about our commercials. That means Melody and I will have to take a break here for a couple of minutes. We'll be back on Financial Survival in just a moment. Please stay tuned.
Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate for those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad spectrum immune boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Call Apothecary Herbs toll free 866-229-3663 or online thepowerherbs.com. That's 866-229-3663 or thepowerherbs.com.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Does the cost and risk of conventional healthcare concern you? Wouldn't you prefer inexpensive solutions to health problems rather than disease management? If so, tune into Herb Talk Live with herbalist Wendy Wilson every Tuesday and Thursday evening, 7 p.m. on AmericanVoiceRadio.com, where your healthcare options just became endless.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Haddisk here on Financial Survival with Melody Cederstrom. The program is brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver at 1-800-375-4188 for all your gold and silver coin needs. What's next, Melody?
I knew you were going to say that. I just want to remind the listeners to give us a call and to visit our website at dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com. Make sure you sign up for our weekly newsletter. And, of course, you can listen to these radio programs live and archived direct from the website. So make sure you check out dgscoins.com. And we're going to continue running the specials from yesterday. I'll go ahead and go over those after the next break. And I just wanted to briefly talk about someone sent me some information on one of the online, I believe they were the online trading bullion. The company started in 1999. It was in Austin, downtown Austin, and Bullion Direct began an online virtual trading floor where customers could buy and sell precious metals to each other. And I think I said from day one, you got to be kidding me. But who listens to Melody? You've got to be kidding me.
Why did you think that was surprising?
Oh, come on. I wouldn't trust my precious metals, and I don't want to get a lawsuit, and I'm not implying anyone or so forth. I wouldn't personally let my metals be stored anywhere, particularly with another gold dealer.
Now, let me understand this. Are you saying this arena, this market where people could buy and sell gold among themselves, you're saying that before they could buy or sell it, or sell it at least, they had to actually deposit their money with this broker, with this,
let me read
with
this.
The vault for this
let,
outfit, and
let,
then
let me read this what this says, and this was a recent article by the Austin American Statesman. This is where this information is coming from, but it says it began selling the metals to customers directly. It stored the commodities for those who requested it, with the coins and bars kept safely in individual piles for each investor in an old bank vault, I guess in Austin. By the time the auditors and lawyers got access to Bullion Direct's 14th floor offices 6 weeks ago, there was only a handful of gold and silver coins in the office safe, a second vault. It had recently rented, held only slightly more, an estimated $30 million in cash, metal bullion, and valuable coins vanished. The story gets worse. It was estimated that the scammed investors will only recover about 2-3% of their total investments. Let's see what else we can read.
What was the investor's fundamental mistake?
Not taking physical delivery of their product.
And what did they take instead? A paper certificate.
Mm.
All right, that's what happened. They believed in gold, but they didn't believe in taking physical delivery. They don't believe, they were skeptical of paper debt instruments like stocks and bonds. They knew to stay away from paper, and yet they were willing to accept paper debt instruments from some private entity that was running a gold vault down in Austin, Texas. And so far as they took those pieces of paper and trust them, which are nothing but promises to pay, that's all they are. That's all the green pieces of paper in your wallet, the stocks, the bonds, the pieces of paper with signatures on them. They are nothing but promises to pay. They are IOUs, and people want to treat them as wealth, and they're not. They are just IOUs, and if you're willing to trust those things, you are exposing yourself to loss. And that's what happened here.
Mm-hmm.
The people who were taking theirs, here, let me give you my paper promise. I promise to give you gold back.
Understand.
I'll give you your gold back, and you hang on to this piece of paper. The lesson in this, if you're going to buy gold, take physical delivery. I know that you can get to places that are theoretically reliable when it comes to storing your gold. All right, I'm not arguing that everybody's running a gold vault or anything like that.
Well,
I mean, sort of a crook. But I'm still saying, if you're the lesson in all of this that I'm at least trying to get across, and I believe Melody's trying to do the same thing, you can't take paper promises to pay. The promises can't all be kept. And if you're going to take pieces of paper with somebody's signature on them, for every 100 of you people in the audience who take the piece of paper with the signature on it, I'm going to make you a bet that 90, at least 90, are going to lose your assets.
I don't have a problem with people who have physical IRA accounts and their metal is stored in the Delaware Depository. I mean, that is their choice. That is the risk they take. I can accept that. I cannot accept having people letting dealers store their metals. I mean, I keep product for some people for a short period of time and so forth, but that's not how we do. I mean, that's not what we do. It's like giving your cat. It's like giving your cash to your neighbor and allowing them to hold it for you.
Well, it also creates a certain amount of conflict of interest. When you are in a business of selling gold, for example, or gold coins, that's one business. Storing gold and gold coins is another business. When you have the two businesses combined together, where you can, we're going to sell you gold coins if you want to buy them, we will also store them if you want to sell them, sooner or later, the people that are running a business that both sells the gold coins and stores the gold coins is going to find themselves in a bind. And they're going to say, Jesus, I've got to sell these gold coins to Smith over here. He just ordered 150 gold coins and we're out. I don't have them. But guess what? We have a pile of 150 gold coins in Mrs. Brown's account back there in the vault. And I know we'll get it back in just a week or two. So why don't we just take her 150 coins and we'll sell them to Smith? He'll never know. She'll never know. And we'll get the 150 back in just a week or two. I know things are going to change and then we'll get it back. This is the temptation that has beguiled goldsmiths since the first time people started storing their banks, their gold with goldsmiths, their money with goldsmiths. Sooner or later, you realize all that gold is sitting there. They're not using it. I could use it. I could make a profit off of it. And who would know? And inevitably, people succumb to that temptation.
And this is what happens, too. I mean, at first, he was just selling it online where the customers could buy and sell precious metals to each other. Then he started selling it directly to customers. And what happens, I'll guarantee you, this company probably sold their coins basically at wholesale. So he was able to undercut every other dealer in this country. People thought that they were getting a deal. And the next thing you know, he's speculating on the market. Then all of a sudden, the new money coming in is paying for old trades. Gold prices rise, and he's, you know,
it's time to buy a boat and head south.
And the product that he stored. And plus, when you have all this money just laying around, hey, don't you think these guys, you know, begin to start living the life? You know, you have all that temptation around you.
It's a difficult temptation for anyone to resist. If people start trusting me to hold all their money for them, it takes a certain amount of character to sit back and say, okay, I'm going to hold their money for them, and I'm not going to dip into it. I don't care what happens. And even though they may not be asking for their money for another 10 years or something like that, and there's plenty of time, I'm not going to dip into their money. Even if I have an emergency and the grandkids need braces, no, I'm not going to dip in.
And nobody knows who these people are online. And then we need to move on. And nobody knows who these people are when you're dealing online. That's what baffles me the most.
Yeah.
I mean, why would anybody spend their hard-earned money to people you don't even know on the internet?
You're not buying a t-shirt. Well, I get that. I get that. It's not the same thing. And when you start buying valuable items over the internet, it's not just a question of whether you bought a gold coin. It's a question of whether you bought $50,000 worth of gold coins or $250,000 worth of gold coins, and some people do. All right? That means the hackers, they can smell blood. This guy's got $250,000. Let's follow this account and see what we have to do to hack in on this thing. You know, there's some things that you just have to use a certain amount of common sense, and you have to resist. At least you should resist. You should at least be wary. You should consider the possibility that when you're trusting someone and they're going to give you a piece of paper and you're going to give them your gold coins, this is a dangerous relationship. Right? You can't really trust. Ultimately, if you're going to buy the coins, you got to figure a way to store them yourself. At least some of them. You're going to trust someone else? You may live to regret it. I know that a lot of people are going to be able to trust other people, and they will succeed. They'll get by, all right? But there may come a moment, just the same, when all of a sudden, the reason you store these gold coins is to protect you against the day when we have a very serious problem. But if we have a very serious problem, what makes anyone so sure that some guy in another state or even another country is going to agree to send you your gold coins? In the midst of real trouble, where everything's unstable, and maybe you can buy yourself a phony passport with a different name, how many people that are hanging on, they've got gold from 100 different people. a nice pile of gold. How many people, in the worst case scenario, why don't they just say, I think I'm going to pack this gold and I'm going to go to France or Uruguay or wherever? How are you going to get your gold if things really go, if you get to the moment when you really need it? What enforcement mechanism will allow you to get your gold that's being stored in another state or another country? There isn't going to be
the Perth Mint and their certificates. Really?
Yeah.
You know, they tell you to get 5% of physical and get the rest. And I'm like, really? Come on. It's the same way with shares. What's the point? If you're only having 5% of physical in your portfolio, what's the point? Don't bother. What's it going to do for you?
Well, it'll give you peace of mind at the moment.
That's
right?
Not my point,
but it's
Al.
An illusion. It's an illusion that
5%
is this a reasonable? Is my peace of mind justified, or is this a dangerous path?
Like,
from my perspective, you should be wary.
I mean, if you're wealthy, 5% is not going to protect your assets. You know, and that was my point. I mean, 5% of the physical gold is not going to help your assets. When?
In the final analysis, if you get 5% in physical gold,
what's the point?
And 95% in paper certificates, you might just well have 95% in stocks or bonds. All you've got is paper. Once again, all you've got is paper. If the stuff hits the fan, that paper, all I can say is it better be soft and absorbent, because that may be the only use you're going to get out of it. The whole idea behind this gold, well, you can call the collectible coins have a different mindset. They anticipate collectibles. They have a more optimistic mindset. And as they're anticipating this, the economy is going to do well. They probably, but the bullion coins are there in case the economy goes down. If it goes down, better have those coins close to hand, because if they don't, how are you going to get them? Send Guido and the boys over, threaten to break the gold vault owner's knees. You got to find him. You're going to have to pay Guido and the boys to locate this guy, and he might be in Paris, and he might be down in Buenos Aires. Who knows where he is? If you are of a mindset that we are coming on difficult times, then you need to actually store. You've got to keep access, not 5%. If you want to put some in a vault, put some in a vault, but you need to keep enough on hand where you can get by, worst case scenario.
What's next, Al? Let's move on.
All right, worst case, what's next? We have about 65 seconds before we take a break, Melody.
Well, I'll tell you what, we talk about how poor the Americans are and now everybody's hurting, but the National Football League says that this year you're going to have about $95 billion that will be bet, and most of it illegally.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of money for, so.
I saw a joke.
Man, that's incredible,
joke on,
$95 billion.
I saw a joke about a guy who takes his girlfriend to a football game. And what we'll do is we'll break and take that commercial announcement. I'll see if I can find the joke. And then we will read it when we come back. Talking about football. So a blonde girlfriend is taken to the football game, and she makes some interesting observations. And we'll see if these strike other people as funny. They strike me as funny. And we'll be back. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. We'll be right back. Please stay tuned to Financial Survival.
If you have a heart condition and emergency rooms and medical doctors are not an option, you need our emergency heart attack kit. 5 concentrated liquid formulas enter the system in 60 seconds to protect your heart muscle, strengthen heartbeat, increase circulation, relieve pain, and make breathing easier. When seconds count, you want all the help you can get with our emergency heart attack kit. easy to use, and portable in a 1-pound compact kit for your purse, briefcase, or car. Call Apothecary Herbs now for your emergency heart attack kit toll-free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at www.thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Folks, I'm Alfred Addisk here with Melody Cedarstrom on Financial Survival. What's next, Melody?
Well, I just wanted to remind the listeners of our specials, $915 for the American Gold Eagle, a quarter ounce, along with 20 of the Morgan Silver Dollars. These are pre-1921, and a one-year subscription to the Common Sense Coalition annual newsletter, The Pen. And, of course, this includes all your shipping costs. And if anybody would also like a complimentary copy to her newsletter, this is Beth Ann's off of the Common Sense Coalition. She'd be more than happy to send it to you. Just let us know. $915. And if you would like to replace that 1/4 ounce gold with a 1/10, you can do that also. But give us a call at 1-800-375-4188.
Okay, I found my little joke here. Let's see if I can tell it where anyone else finds it amusing. I think this is amusing. A guy took his blonde girlfriend to her first football game. They had great seats right behind their team's bench. After the game, he asked her how she liked it. She said, "Oh, I really liked it, especially the tight pants and all the big muscles. But I just couldn't understand why they were killing each other over 25 cents. Dumbfounded, her boyfriend said, "What do you mean?" He said, "Well, they flipped a coin. One team got it, and then the rest of the game, all they kept screaming was, 'Get the quarterback! Get the quarterback!'" I'm like, "Hello? It's only 25 cents. Did you get that, Melody?
Yes, I did. Ha, 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 ha.
"Get the quarterback! Get the quarterback!" Well, you see, this is...
Was she blonde? Did you say she was blonde?
It doesn't say, it says she was blonde, but it doesn't say whether she was a natural blonde or she had dyed her hair blonde. It doesn't say. But any case, get the quarterback, get the quarterback. And she's like, "Hello, it's only 25 cents. So I thought that was amusing.
I have to agree. I got a little chuckle, too.
Well, that was about that took you long enough. And Frank, he could at least have rim shots. All right. When you do little jokes like that, Frank could have a little rim shot, the sound system where you go, ting.
All right, let's move on. What's next?
I don't know. Melody, gee, I have to make up all that. How about the Asian stocks sink on?
That's
Here's
fine.
An interesting story to me. Asian stocks sink on Fed rate hike expectations. All right? And what they're talking about is Asian stocks were weaker earlier today. And this was what it says: Asian stock markets were weaker Thursday after Wall Street fell following a strong U.S. jobs ad report that added to the case for the Fed's first rate hike in years. I don't know if that makes any sense to anyone, but I had to read that a time or two just to see what the logic is. The explanation reminds me of the old Rube Goldberg machine. First, a strong U.S. jobs report caused, second, an increased probability the Federal Reserve will raise interest rates next week, which caused, third, U.S. stocks to fall, causing, fourth, Asian stocks to fall. Does that make sense to anybody? Isn't that a little like chaos theory that postulates that a butterfly flapping its wings in New Mexico can precipitate a hurricane off the coast of China? Haven't the markets had months to factor in the possibility that the Federal Reserve might someday, sometime, raise interest rates from 0.25% to 0.5%? Is 0.25% interest rate hike even significant? Are we dealing with causes and effects? Or are we dealing with effects and rationales? In other words, they say, well, the market moved. What reason can we think of to explain it? Which comes first, the effect or the rationale? Does reason cause an effect, or does an effect cause the creation of a rationale? If we can no longer identify clear causes and effects, in other words, if we don't really understand why the market go down, all right? If we can't do that, how can anyone really be? Is anyone in control? If no one is in control, doesn't that sap investor confidence? If confidence falls, won't the markets follow? They go on with the article, and it says a report from the Labor Department on Wednesday said U.S. employers advertised the most jobs in 15 years. Job openings soared 8%. Hiring remains strong. And that may precipitate the Federal Reserve to raise interest rates. All right? U.S. stock markets closed lower Wednesday after a rally in the morning as jobs data raised chances of a Fed rate hike. Japan's Nikkei 225 sagged almost 3% after surging 7.7%, the biggest gain the previous day, Wednesday. Hong Kong's Hang Seng index dropped 2.2%. China's Shanghai Composite Index declined 1.1%. Stocks in Australia, Southeast Asia, South Korea were also lower. An analyst's explanation, just when you thought risk sentiment is on the mend, it unceremoniously crumbles in the U.S. markets. The analysts are arguing that because there's evidence that the U.S. economy may be strengthening, the Federal Reserve will raise interest rates from a quarter of a percent to perhaps 0.5%, and that'll be bad for stocks. And so investors are selling out right now. How can it be bad for U.S. stocks and then the global stock markets if the U.S. economy is strengthening? Are investors crazy? Are investors living in a constant state of terror where they're frightened by any little thing? I mean, oh my gosh, they're going to raise the interest rate from 0.25% to 0.5%. What does this mean? It's like I've increased the speed in my automobile from 35 miles an hour to 36 miles an hour. Are we now in great danger because we're going a mile an hour faster? Do people in positions of real power have knowledge that indicates the U.S. economy is far weaker than is commonly supposed? Is that what's driving this thing? The truth, in my opinion, is that the U.S. and Asian markets fell on Wednesday for no reason that anyone understands, certainly not in the public mind, and therefore the analysts have been compelled to devise some sort of plausible rationale for the decline. If my opinion is mistaken, then it follows that the U.S. and Asian stock markets must be so weak that they can be spooked by a mere whisper of suspicion based on an otherwise positive U.S. jobs report. I mean, it's just goofy. Either nobody can explain this or the markets are in big trouble. That's how at least it looks to me. And we'll watch and see. Maybe that's right. Maybe that's wrong. But it's just goofy. We've been talking about it. Oh my gosh, the Federal Reserve is going to raise the interest rate from 0.25% to 0.5%. Well, big deal. All right? That's enough to make markets fall? I mean, we are now talking about that snowflake. We've all heard the analogy of the avalanche, where the snow is just piling up and piling up and piling up, and at some point there's going to be just one little snowflake that'll be just enough to float down, land on top of all that accumulated snow, and it will precipitate the avalanche that's going to cause a lot of trouble for everyone. The description we have that U.S. markets fall because the Fed might raise interest rates, and because the U.S. markets fall, the Asian markets fall because the Feds might raise interest rates. This is that snowflake in the avalanche. Right? It indicates we are either in a lot of trouble or things are happening, nobody understands, and they're just coming up. Look, here's an explanation. I think they don't know what's going on. I think that at the top, they are just playing for time and hoping to God they get lucky. Because I don't think they're smart enough to run this system. I think it's too big, too complex, too involved, interrelated to a degree where you can't do anything without having adverse consequences. You do something over here, looks like a good idea. Let's do this. This will be a good idea. Yeah, we'll watch and see what adverse consequences you come up with later. I look at this and I see vulnerability, 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 which is, again, going to lead me to, you know, conclusion that is standard for me at this time. We are in jeopardy. Right? We're not going to die over this, but we are in jeopardy. And we would, you know, it behooves us to get out there and get prepared. Why? This whole thing is shaky. That's all. And I think that's the only thing you can say about these markets that anyone can demonstrate and say, we can kind of prove, yeah, the markets are unstable. Yes, the markets are shaky. Right? What else can we prove? They're going up, they're going down, they're going sideways. Nobody knows what they're going to do. And when they do it, most people won't be able to come up with a credible explanation of why it happened. It's like saying, look, the markets went down in Asia because I wore black socks instead of blue socks. This is good an explanation to some of the others they have. All of which is just, you know, this system to me is like an ocean liner. It's got a huge mass and an enormous momentum. And you can't just stop this thing on a dime. You can't turn it right or left, starboard or port. You can only slowly make this massive machine with all this inertia. You can only make it slowly veer to the right, slowly veer to the left. Right? It's not subject to real control, and it does continue to move, maybe even when there's no fundamental basis for the movement. Its momentum carries it. People try to explain it. I think maybe all that's supporting us right now is a certain amount of momentum, but the point, the implication is that sooner or later, that momentum is either going to carry us to a place where we don't want to go, or maybe we even run out of momentum. All of which, you know, just brings me back. Get ready. Get ready. Maybe today, maybe a year from now. I don't know when. Nobody else knows. But we're looking at what is really motivating this thing. Is it moving under control, or is it just momentum that carries it another day, another week, another month? What's making this thing tick? I don't think anyone knows. There are people who pretend to know. They claim to know. They speak as if they are gurus and they're in positions of power and they're operating this thing. I think they are as mystified by what's happening in the global and U.S. economy as they would be if they captured an alien UFO. And they got inside and started looking at the control panel and the buttons and said, what do you think this does? What do you think this does? I don't know. Let's push this button and see what happens. If I'm right, can't tell you that it's God's truth, what I just said, but if I'm right, again, we are back to, you would be wise to protect yourself. Yeah. Do what you can. Yeah. Protect yourself and your family as best you can before what may be a very difficult time. And if worse comes to worse and we don't really have that difficulty, you can still, most of what you really need for that difficult time, you can get through. You can use it later on and say, well, gee, you know, it was like getting ready for Y2K. You can store up all your food, the rest of this, or the, oh my gosh, Y2K is coming. Well, it didn't actually happen, did it? But still, virtually all the supplies were useful. You know, it's not like you wasted your money on a bunch of stuff you didn't need or could never use. You wound up being able to use it. Well, it's the same thing now. The things you really need, you'll be able to really use almost any time in the future. And if you don't have them, we do have the problem. You're going to have some, you know, you're going to be in a difficult situation. That means it's your turn now, Melody.
Well, I mean, I think we're going to, you know, we don't mean to take things lightly. I mean, there have been so many predictions and so forth that we talked about in the first part of the program, and it is about all being prepared. That doesn't mean I mean, we do have some serious problems facing and coming our way, and I think they're going to be here sooner than later. And I do believe, you know, with the amount of debt, not only this country, you know, you talked about the, you know, the way the markets respond with something that's seems to be so minor. If the markets respond to something that seems to be so minor, can you imagine what happens when something a little more major comes along? And when we talk about the debt, we talk about this country's debt. But you have all your European countries doing the same thing. You have Japan doing it. I mean, trillions of their currencies being put into their markets to try to stimulate something and try to maintain the illusion, because that's all it is. It's the illusion that they're maintaining. And that illusion, I mean, how long can they keep this illusion going?
That's the big question.
And that's the big question.
Yeah.
It could be tomorrow. It could be the end.
Yep.
It could be next month. I was just going back and I was reading some predictions from, you know, 2012, I think it was. You know, credible people. Oh, silver was going to be 400 and gold was going to be 8,000. You know, before 2015. Well, you know, a lot of these predictions take away the importance of what is truly going on. And there are distractions also. Just like the guy who says gold's going to be 700. That's a distraction, folks. So don't fall into their, you know, into their game. Take control of your situation.
And take responsibility.
And responsibility.
That's what ultimately it comes down to. You know, you're going to have to make up your own mind. You can believe me. You can believe Melody. You can believe 100 different people. You make up your choice. But you have to take responsibility, because if a worst-case scenario really does break down, does happen, who's going to take care? Who is going to take responsibility if not you? We're going to have to break because we're out of time, folks. I want to thank all of you for listening. Melody and I will be back tomorrow. In the meantime, may the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, and Frank, the producer. Bye-bye.
Seems to be a single penny left for me.
That's you.